So for thousands of years, there has existed an overly controversial method of federal punishment. And this is something that has been discussed both ethically and morally, and that is the issue of collective punishment. This is something that has unfortunately existed all over the world, in all different continents, in all different countries, in all different rulerships. We'll just give a few examples and then we'll get into our discussion today. So you look in, it is documented that in China, already going back 2,200 years, and this is a rule, this is a law that lasted from 200 years BC until 1905, and that was the rule that they called familial extermination. So if they found somebody in China, under those years when this law applied, if they found somebody in China who committed a crime that they considered to be a very serious crime, for example, somebody committed the crime of treason or something of that nature, they would not only exterminate that person, him or herself, but they would also do what they called familial extermination. They would get rid of 9 members of the family as well, even though the other members of the family had no documentation that they had done anything wrong. There was no reason to believe that they had any part in it at all. It was just a way of collective punishment. You did something wrong, you did something that we consider to be a heinous crime. We're going to not only wipe you out, but we're going to get rid of your family members as well for no fault of their own. That was something that happened not only in China, but that was something that unfortunately happened in the United States as well. In 1906, it is documented that 167 black U.S. soldiers that were stationed in Brownsville, Texas, were let go by the American Army for no reason of their own, for no fault of their own, for doing absolutely nothing wrong. They were let go and they were denied their pension. They served many, many years in the American Army and they fought one of the most difficult wars that America had in the early 1900s, and yet they were let go. Why were they let go? Because there was a story that President Roosevelt said that in response to the shooting of 2 white citizens, one of them died and one of them was injured. In response to that, they let all these 167 black U.S. soldiers go because they were somewhat connected to the community that it was assumed that the killers came from. Not because they had any connection to the killer at all, not because they were at all at fault, but because they did what we call collective punishment, and that was a highly controversial reaction. That was a highly questionable response. Why should they suffer ethically? Why is it fair that they should suffer? Why should they be denied their pension when, in fact, they were not involved in this murder at all? They had nothing to do with the story. And in Israel, it has been a long-standing discussion as well by many, many ethicists, by many nations of the world over, have discussed whether the current blockade that we have in Gaza, that is something that has been criticized universally as being also a form of collective punishment against the Palestinians, is this really fair? Now, again, I'm not a judge whether it's right or it's wrong. I don't have any opinion on the matter. I have no idea. I'm not learned enough to understand whether or not it's the right decision for the country or not. But this is something that has been discussed. Or when we find a terrorist that has been found to be guilty of a particular crime that they've done, a terror activity, so very often the Israeli response is that they'll go and demolish the home. Why is that fair? Why is that fair that we demolish the home? What do the parents do wrong? What do the siblings do wrong? What do the grandparents that live in the house do wrong? Why is it that we cut off water to a whole community when we're looking for a terrorist? Why should that be fair? All these kinds of questions are ones that have been discussed, and the reason why they have been discussed in more modern times is because we are bound by the Geneva Convention, and that is the Geneva Convention came up with a bunch of rules that made sure that warfare in the world universally will be running by a certain set of criterion. And one of those rules, in August of 1949, they came up with the rule of protection of civilians in times of war. And there they write the following. This is Geneva Convention, Article 33. No protected person may be punished for an offense he or she has not personally committed, which makes a lot of sense. Collective penalties and likewise all measures of intimidation or of terrorism are prohibited. So we, by the Geneva Convention, don't have a right to do collective punishment anymore. And the question is, what I'd like to discuss today and probably tomorrow and perhaps the next day if we have enough, if you don't have enough time, is what does the Torah say about collective punishment? We have stories throughout the millennia, we have stories throughout the generations all over the world where they use methods of collective punishment. In some communities it is still used today. Whether it's justified or not is a major ethical question. But what does the Sifra Halacha say and what does the Chumash, what does the Tanakh say about our perspective as far as collective punishment goes? So we begin with a pasuk in Parshas Ki Tsetse, and there the Torah unequivocally gives us the rule. The Torah says, "Lo yimsu avos al banim, ubanim lo yimsu al avos." Ish becheto yimasa. The Torah says in Parshas Ki Tsetse, there is no reason that I should be held responsible for the wrongdoings of my father or of my family members. Each person has their own account. Ish b'cheta yumasu, if you've done something wrong, you will be held accountable and you will be punished for it. If another member of your family has done something wrong, they will be held accountable. And there's no reason, says the Torah, why we should prosecute an entire family. There's no reason why we should have familial exterminations just because one person in the family has done something wrong. Now the Gemara in Brachos picks up on this pasuk and says, really, is that true? Ish b'cheta yumasu, is it really true that somebody is not held accountable for what another family member did? Don't we know in the Aseres Hadibros we are told, Poked avon avos al banim, that a child is held accountable, is held responsible for the avera, for the wrongdoing of their father or mother. So don't we find that there is this idea of collective punishment, even though the child has done nothing wrong? So the Gemara says, no, that's inconceivable to assume that a parent who does something wrong, their child will be punished as a result. The Gemara comes to the conclusion and says, no. The only time a child is going to be punished for the wrongdoing of the father is if they follow in the footsteps of the father, if they also commit those same heinous crimes as the father or mother may have done. However, when the child makes good for what the father or mother did wrong, when the child is not following in the lead or the direction of their parents, when the child chooses a different way for their lives to be run, we assume there is no way that that child can be punished as a result of the actions of their parents. And this is something that we find in Parshas Korach as well. Parshas Korach, the Torah tells us the story that Korach va'adaso gang up against Moshe and Aaron, and Moshe Rabbeinu is told, "He badlu mitocha eda hara hazos, I want you to move away from this whole congregation. Va'achalo sam karega, I'm going to destroy all of them, I'm going to get rid of them, obliterate them, exterminate them, not going to be a Jewish people anymore." Moshe and Aaron turn to the Ribbono shel Olam and say, Ha'ish echad yechata, is it fair that one person, Korach, does something wrong, v'al kol ha'eda tiktof, and now you're going to destroy the entire Jewish people? And Moshe Rabbeinu have a good taina. What right do you have to destroy everybody just because of the terrible actions of Korach v'adaso? Now, the Ramban on Chumash asks, well, I don't really understand. What was the idea? What did God originally have in mind? What was the intention? The Ramban on Chumash says, was the intention that God was going to destroy the entire Jewish people as a result of Korach v'adaso? That can't be. That can be, but that's what it sounds like from Moshe and Aaron's response. They say, "Al kola eda yikso." If you're going to get angry at everybody, destroy the whole Jewish people just because of Korach va'adaso, that's inconceivable to imagine that God was going to destroy everyone as a result of Korach va'adaso. Elamai, says the Ramban, it must be God's original plan was just to destroy Korach and all those people who were together with him. So then, one was Moshe and Aaron's question? They deserve to be killed. They did something wrong. Everybody else, God never had a havamina to destroy them. So the Ramban tries to deal with the back and forth here, but what's clear, what emerges, however you learn up that story, what's clear is Moshe and Aaron present a claim against the Ribbono shel Olam and say, it's impossible, it's inconceivable that you can punish those who were not involved in the crime. It's not fair for you to do such a thing. This is what we already find the precedent by Avraham Avinu. Hashem comes to Avraham Avinu and says, Hamachas ani me'Avraham es asher ani oseh, am I going to hide from Avraham Avinu what I'm about to do? What was he about to do? He's about to destroy the cities of Sodom and Amorah. And he comes to Avraham Avinu and he informs him of the fact that he's about to make a major destruction in those cities of Sodom and Amorah. And what does Avraham Avinu react? What does he say? Chalila lecha me'asos kadavar hazeh lahamis tzadik im rasha. Yes, you found that it's a terrible city and there are terrible people, but you have a right to destroy everybody in the city as a result of the wrongdoings of them. You're going to go and destroy all the tzadikim in the city also, and that's when he starts negotiating. Is it fair that you are not going to do justice to those who deserve to be saved from that city? Why is it fair that you're going to destroy all of them? And that's when he begins to negotiate. Maybe there will be 50 tzaddikim, 40 tzaddikim, save those, save 20, save 10. And that's when Avraham Avinu gives up. He realizes that there's really nobody who's worthy of being saved in the city. But the premise of Avraham Avinu is that collective punishment is something that is very against our hashkafa. It's against everything we believe in. And you look in Sefer Yecheskel, where the Navi Yecheskel has a very poetic perek there. Perek Yud Ches in Sefer Yecheskel, the Navi goes through a very interesting series of psukim. Vayhi dvar Hashem alai leimar. So Yecheskel is giving over to the Jewish people what his nebuah was. So Hashem came to him and told him the following. Malachem atem moshlem es hamashal azeh al admas Yisrael leimar. What is this that all of you are saying? What are these mishalim that you're saying to your children, to your families? Avos yochlu basar, vishine habanim tikehena. Is it fair that the parents will be ochle basar, boser? They will be eating something, they will be doing something wrong. Vishine habanim tikana, and you're going to knock out the teeth of the children. They're going to be punished as a result of what their parents did wrong. Chai ani nu'um Hashem Elokim. God promises us, and He says, im yielachem od mashal, ha-mashal hazeb Yisrael. Hey, kol ha-nefashos li'ena. No, I am the one, God says, who's in charge of the world. I understand the nefashos of each and every individual person. I know what's going on inside each person's neshama. And therefore He says, k'nefesh ha'avu, k'nefesh ha-bein li'ena. I know exactly what's going on in the father's heart. I know exactly what's going on in the actions and in the mind of the child's heart. And therefore He says, ha-nefesh ha-chotas hi-tamas. God assures us and He says, only the nefesh ha-chotas, only the one who has done something wrong, is the one who's going to be punished. And I will never, says God, I will never punish those who have not been involved in committing this terrible crime that you claim. And then the Navi goes on and he says, v'ish, ki yet tzadik v'asa mishpat u'tzdaka. When you have a man who is doing the right thing, who is doing tzedaka u'mishpat, ela harim lo achal ve'enav lo nasal gilulei beis Yisrael ve'al eishes re'ehu. He's not looking at anybody else's wife, he's not involved in gilui arayos, and he's not stealing from his neighbors, and he's not doing anything. He's a straight person doing the right thing, not turning to avodah zarah ve'al isha nida lo yikrav, and he stays away when his wife is a nida, and he's doing all the rules, he's following the mitzvahs of Torah. When you have someone like that, b'chukosa yelech u'mishpatai shamar la'asos emes, when you have somebody who is following the rules of the Torah, so the Navi assures us in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzadiku, that God says that person is a righteous person, and Chayo Yichya Nu'um Hashem Elokim, he will be able to live. Doesn't matter what his parents did. And then the Navi goes on and says, V'holid ben paritz, let's say he gives birth to a child, who is a shofech dam. Look, we're not always responsible for the way our children turn out. Sometimes they have children, they can have the best chinuch in the world, but something goes wrong. The child goes on their own way. Every adult has their own right to make a decision. The child makes the wrong decisions. And here the Navi says, this great tzaddik, who never did anything wrong, who's so righteous, who's so straight, who's doing everything right, and doesn't turn to avodah zarah, and not to gilui arayos, and not to shvichas damim, gives birth to a child who's a shofech damim, va'asa ach me'achas me'ela, and this child goes ahead and violates one or all of these terrible crimes. Ani ve'evyon honeg, gizelos, gazel, he goes ahead and he's stealing from all the aniim, and he's taking advantage. Chabalo yashiv, he borrows things, he doesn't give it back. Ve'ala gilulim nasa'ena av to'eva, so he's doing all these abominable, despicable acts, and he's serving avodah zarah. Says the Ribbono shel Olam, echai lo yichye. That person will not live. That person's life will be taken away. But the father and the other members of the family will not be punished. He's an adult. He's making his own responsible or irresponsible decisions, and then he has to live with them, or not live with them, but it's not going to be carried out on the rest of the family. And the Navi Yecheskel then goes on to say, and what happens if the cycle continues? Now he gives birth to a tzaddik, this Rasha Marusha, terrible person. Somehow he makes it through life, and now he gives birth to a great tzaddik, and somehow he's going ahead and living a life of great righteousness. Says the Torah in such a person, Lo Yamus, that child who's the child of a Rasha Marusha, an awful person, Ba'avon Aviv Chayo Yichya, he will not be killed as a result of the actions of his father. Chayo Yichya, God assures that person they will live. And the Navi goes on to discuss this kind of approach, but what's clear is, not only from the Navi Yecheskel, but you have this assumption also from Avraham Avinu, you have it from Moshe and Aaron by the story of Korach, and you have it from the Torah itself that says, Lo yumsu avos al banim, ubanim lo yumsu al avos, ish b'cheto yumasu. Our working assumption is that each person is responsible for their own actions, for their own decisions, and we never carry over the terrible punishment that might be deserving of such an act. We never carry that over to a child. They never have to suffer the consequences of their parents, and that's what the Torah says, even though in the Aseres Hadibros it seems to be an indication that Poked avon avos al banim, that there is a time when the children are punished as a result of their parents. The Gemara rejects that assumption and says, no, that's only when the children are following in the footsteps, the terrible footsteps of their parents. But if a child makes their own decisions and decides to live life the right way, to live life in the righteous way, they will not be punished as a result of the actions of their parents. And all that, keeping in mind, I guess we'll have to continue tomorrow, it's time for Mincha, but keeping all that in mind, we have to wonder about all the stories in Chumash that seem to indicate very much to the contrary. Obviously, in this week's special, we'll talk about the story of Shechem. We have the stories that many Mefarshim grapple with throughout Chumash, and we'll have to figure out how exactly those play into our understanding of what collective punishment and whether or not that's considered to be something that we would see as being ethical, as being moral, when the Psukim clearly seem to indicate that that is not really the case. And whether or not nowadays in Eretz Yisrael do we have a right to follow Again, legally, whatever they decide is their business. The Geneva Convention will decide whatever they decide. But whether al pi halacha, do we really have a right to understand that collective punishment is something that is acceptable under some circumstances, or do we assume that this is something that the Torah absolutely rejects and does not allow us to ever go along with?